Planet, making sense of it all.
And what is dodgy about New Age?
Yeah, what, no, what's,
well,
what you
well, that's on our next topic.
After lunch.
What do you mean by
that?
What do you mean by
that?
To define
age.
It?
Yeah.
Well,
you're a defining, encompassing mixture of lots of different types of modern and ancient thoughts.
Talking about alternative spirituality.
Yes, alternative spirituality.
Alternative to what?
To Christianity.
To Judeo-Christian.
Orthodox Judeo-Christian.
So, what? How do you define that?
What, Orthodox, yeah. Judeo-Christian?
Yeah.
That defined by the Bible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Given the fact there are as many interpretations of the Bible as there are.
That's a very debatable point.
It is, actually.
It's one of a worthy discussion, actually.
It is, actually.
On interpretations of the Bible.
Because the New Age is something that Harold and I have investigated, or we used to go into. We met up with a group once, didn't we, who we'd actually designed a computer game about 10 years ago.
About 20 years ago.
Actually, it was when Louis was a funny colour.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
You've always joined this.
When he was a blue baby.
Worse, when he was a blue baby.
Almost.
But that's another topic.
Crippledness.
Yeah.
A whole series on it. They were bad and everything, it was brilliant. Well, anyway.
So what are we going to talk about? Louis, the New Age, or what happened 20 years ago? We designed a computer game. And it was actually to show how the New Age had infiltrated society. The way we define New Age then, and we'll have to sort of qualify ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's up to empty since then.
Yeah. And we got,
well, I was well into New Age before I became a Christian.
I was into New Age before I became a Christian.
Basically, it's... From a very hardcore standpoint, it's everything but the truth. That's my unbiased opinion.
But surely the issue is about the force and the spirit that you're accessing.
Every
act, for example, miraculous thing that you might see in the Bible, then there will be a counterfeit.
Absolutely.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it's looking at, well, where are you getting the energies and the spirits from, heavenly realm or
from the fallen spirit,
satanic realm? And that's, I think that's the distinction, how you can make a distinction.
But the point is about that is that you know that and we know that, but people in the New Age would
so
not,
just think
would
that's
not
a very
know
narrow
that.
Minded view.
They would not know that.
So for me, it's like a haystack that's been built, hiding the needle of Judeo-Christianity.
Yeah.
So it's all these alternatives to that. Yeah. Very specific.
That's the way that we saw it. And when we were going into it, it was really on the fringes of society, and it was just coming into, like, becoming mainstream media and whatever. But now it's so mainstream.
You get it on the NHS. You can go along and instead of having ordinary treatment, you can be offered alternative therapy.
That's right.
And is that New Age-ish, is it? You'd class that as New Age.
A lot of it is, yes. I think, we could go into the health area. We can go into things like...
flying saucers.
It's not my favourite choice.
Other things. Other things.
Homeopathy.
So who defines what New Age-ish?
It's to do with the origin. You were questioning about homeopathy, but that's to do with the origin of how they came about with the solutions.
Right.
And the philosophy behind it.
Okay.
Yeah. And what they draw on.
Yeah.
But who defines that, and how do you do that?
A lot of the time they define it themselves. They call themselves New Age.
I think they created the name.
It's not a derogatory term made by Christians.
No. Right.
It's their own field.
But you're telling me that things are new. Certain homeopathy and maybe reflexology and
a lot of those health things. But it's much more than just a health thing. That's just one
little corner of it. What I'm trying to say, would they themselves define themselves as being New Age? People who practice
very often they
call themselves New Age practitioners.
I've never come across anybody.
Alternative practitioners.
Yeah,
alternative is another word.
Alternative is probably a more recent use of the word, but in the 70s and early 80s, yeah. New Age was the big thing.
Maybe that's so, it, because right. it was newer then, it's not so new anymore.
Yeah, you know? It wasn't Age then, it's actually it's ancient. More,
but the Age sometimes can have negative right. connotations, so I wonder if there right. has been a shift to making it alternative therapies in recent years. But there are often people making a link with spirituality within that.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, I've never come across anybody who practices any of those who consider themselves to be of a religious or non-religious background at all. They would say, okay, if this therapy is not strictly Western medicine, fine, but let's have a look at the results of it. And the results of it bring sometimes lack of pain, sometimes health, sometimes healing.
Yep.
Now, would that not be a good thing?
What it carries with it and what the price is paid for that. And if there is a spiritual source behind that, very often...
How do you know that? A spiritual source behind it, in inverted commas.
Well, it's either a spiritual source or it's a there can be a placebo effect from these things, and that's a reality. That's part of you know the normal health services and things as well. Yeah. Plenty wrong with the normal health services as well. I'm not saying that the normal NHS direction is entirely wonderful either.
Right. I suppose that for the ordinary person on the street, if you go up to them and say to them, actually, no, you shouldn't get involved in New Age, they would say, well, why? What's the reason? And if you could give an explanation of, actually, well, although you can see that it might be positive effects, actually, there can be negative effects in your life. And some people, for example, who have converted to Christianity would say, actually, I had to go through a whole, not me personally, I'm saying someone might say, I have to go through a whole series of, you know, prayer and trying to deal with that, because actually it had messed up my life in a way that I was unaware of. Mm. You know, you have side effects, I don't know, maybe...
As a spiritual attachment.
Exactly, you know... depression and all sorts that actually came out of the root of the spirituality of those New Age practices.
But what about people say the same thing about chemotherapy? You know, what? You get very bad effects from chemotherapy.
You can, yes.
People get, you know...
Yeah, terrible, but not talking about spiritual effects, though. We're talking about physical effects.
I think everybody's aware of that.
We don't know. We don't look for the spiritual effects of the chemotherapy, do we?
But with some of the New Age practices, they're actually saying, well, we will... pressure point on this part of your body because of this energy and that energy, and it's about channeling energies, whereas chemotherapy is not about energies and spirituality.
That's about
right. Okay.
Also, in things like in transcendental meditation, for instance, you know, you're given like a mantra or you're given something to chant, and we would say, well, what are you chanting? Okay, it might give an effect, or a seemingly positive effect, but what you're actually chanting may be the name of a Hindu god, a deity, that we would say is communing with demons. That's how we would look at it.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of going deeper into stuff. And not,
so where would you get that assumption, the connection between chanting something like, a mantra and a demon? Where's that connection come from? How do you leap from chanting something to associated with demons?
Well, I suppose into the Hinduistic... philosophy behind it, or belief system, and what they describe. I mean, they won't look upon it as a demon, they think of it as a dog god, but they would describe it within their belief system.
What is it you're invoking with the mantra? Because if you are involved in a mantra, then you are asking something to become present, some sort of spirit or something to do whatever it wants to do with you.
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. The people that I know who do mantras are not invoking anything. Mm. What they're doing is quite...
Not knowingly.
Well... Mm. I mean, how can you make that judgment? You're coming from a particular.
We're coming from our worldview.
You're coming from your worldview. I'm trying to question that and see how you're making your assumptions and your judgments, which seem to be questionable in themselves to me.
Mm. Well, because we haven't really had time to go into the fact that we've looked into it a lot over the years, so it's very difficult to encapsulate all that depth of research into just a short conversation.
Right. It's also, as I say, part of the worldview. I mean, the orthodox Christian worldview, as far as we're concerned, is that there is a spiritual world.
Yeah.
Okay. There are such things as angels and demons.
Right.
And angels are there to help us, but demons are there for the opposite reason. We believe in a physical Satan who is lord over the demons. Sure. And these demons are there to blind people, to confuse people. And for us, the New Age, or you know, some of these practitioners and some of these things are ways that demons can divert us from what we see as our true purpose, which is worshipping what we call the true God.
Right.
And, you know, and this is just one avenue that we would say demonic activity can influence people. And It's just where we come from, and we know not all Christians would say that.
Right.
You know, there are different streams of Christianity, right. But we'd say, you know, we're from the Orthodox.
On my search, I got into absolutely everything. All various versions of old, like Hinduism, Buddhism. I didn't get directly involved, but I searched and read a lot and met up with lots of people, went to lots of meetings, listened to lots of speakers. And thought I was, I was digging into a rich vein of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until, it was always unsatisfying at the end. There's always another big question mark at the end of it. And the knowledge always brought you to a bigger question, which was more disturbing, I found. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I became a Christian that the opposite happened, is that the deeper I got into Christianity, the more understanding I got. So that was my personal experience of it, but there's just so much about it. It took me quite a while in my Christian walk to sort of drop a lot of those things, because I held on to a few of those, because I think they're part of the same thing. It's all spiritual, you know. It took quite a while to actually drop it all.
We can't just look at the consequences of things, we've got to look at the origin of them as well. And this whole thing, for example, when Moses was being sent to Pharaoh, there were other magicians and sorcerers who were performing various acts, and they were actually producing fruit, but where was the origin from which they were able to produce that? And God then was reported to have given Moses the ability to also perform things, but they were producing exactly the same results, but where was the origin from which they were doing that?
And the New Age movement is very enticing, because just like how I was into it as well. Every year there used to be, I think there still is, a mind, body, spirit exhibition. It was in Westminster every year, and I used to go. And quite interestingly for me is that one year I went, and I was so deeply into it that, you know, it was confusing me, because they were offering so many competing possibilities of you know, where God can be and where the spirit world was, and it was just so many of them. They're all peddling their wares. They all had a different aspect. One said Jesus was from Venus, and another one, you know, all these different societies. Anyway, there was a stand there called a mustard seed.
Yeah.
One year, and I went there, and they were a Christian witness. They're the only real Christian witness in the whole place. I said, they discerned that I was ready to actually see the truth, and they said, here's the name of a church you should go to, and here's a person you should speak to. And the person's name was this man over here, who I never met before. And the church was the church where we went to in Plastow. And basically, I went there and I became a believer. And that was, so I came through, you know, to the true faith through a mind-body exhibition. God finds a way.
You're on a genuine search.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe the people there and anyone that's in that movement are on a search. The fact that we say they haven't found the right answers is because they haven't found it yet. You know, that perhaps they're not listening to watching the signs. Or I don't know, but all I can say is, for Howard and I, we weren't rescued straight away from it. We had to go quite deep into it to be rescued out of it. But there are dangers. There are real dangers, and I tried spiritual healing after all that as well.
Right. So people who set themselves up as, say, alternative therapists. Of putting themselves and their customers in some kind of spiritual danger, would you say?
Yep.
I think in many cases, I don't think people always end up spiritually bound in these situations, but I think that is a very strong part of what's going on.
I think it depends on how willing you are to receive it as well, because some people receive it on a spiritual level and choose to, and others are literally trying it as one of many methods, and even that can have a small effect on you. But if you're going with it like full pelt, your full heart, you're convinced it's going to really, then you instantly open up your heart to any
possibility
that comes out of it.
But what's also interesting is that even though there are many different aspects of the spirituality, the overall philosophy is very, very unified, and it's all about God is in all of us. And the idea of karma and reincarnation, and it's very, very Hindu, isn't it?
Yes,
isn't
God is within all of us. Is that not a Christian point
of view? No, it's not. God actually withdrew from us at the fall.
Oh, right, okay.
We God was with Adam and Eve.
I didn't realise that, sorry.
When they sinned, God couldn't live with them because they had sin in them, and their imperfection became something that couldn't live within God's light.
So there's no God in us as human beings.
There's a God-shaped vacuum in us.
We were made in the image of God to start with, but we corrupted that image.
So there's a God-shaped space in us, ready for him to come back in through that second birth from above.
Point of view.
Which is a very large subject. Perhaps we'll talk about that after lunch.
After tiffin.
We'll need some energy before we launch into that one.
I think we'll stop that for now.
Saffron Planet. Making sense of it all.
As we said earlier, both Harold and I had many dealings in the New Age movement before we became Christians. From my point of view, I went into it quite deeply. You only got to look at the bookcase behind you, and I got whole loads of books about the New Age. So I was heavily into it, and I realised the more I got into it, and this is the thing about how it can be when you inquire into other spiritualities, is that you end up... as a Christian, you sort of do it just to sort of know your enemy, just to in a sense. But you can end up being sucked in. It's better off knowing more about the positives of your own faith rather than possible negatives of alternatives. So what I did just to sort of bring myself up to date, I've got this magazine here called Nexus, which is from W.H. Smith's, and it's, I presume, just an average New Age type magazine. One thing that interests me is how much more technology has come into New Age beliefs with devices that you can buy. They're into a lot more conspiracies than they used to be, particularly to do with food additives, for instance, to do with climate change, the idea of there being a great conspiracy with America behind it, of course, and everything that America does is somehow very devious from a spiritual point of view. There's a sort of an exhibition, or there's a thing here called the alternative view, and this is quite interesting. This is sort of changing the subject. It's a conference somewhere in the West Country, and it's got a list of topics, and some of them are things you'd expect, like the global terror, the invisible government, the Bilderberger Group, which is a group of
it's a bit like hamburger, only more sinister.
That just about defines it. rich people sort of going behind the scenes, manipulations behind the scenes. Natural health, new European order, oil. And then it's got Palestine, interestingly, as just thrown in as a subject, which I thought was quite intriguing. What's that going to do with the New Age movement? But I suppose they see that as part of the same thing, as something that America is manipulating the Middle East situation. So what I'm saying is it's not so much overtly spiritual what the New Age movement does these days, but it's going into politics and technology and all that stuff as well. So does anyone else, or am I just listening to myself? I'll carry on then.
I mean, we talked a lot about the spiritual content earlier, and I think while that's a lot of what we view as being what's dangerous and dodgy about the whole New Age movement, some of it I find is just diverts people's attention. I mean, I think some things are not inherently things that impart dark spirits to people, but actually put them off the scent of what we consider to be the truth.
Yeah.
So some things are just really diversions that put people into an area where they're looking. I would say a typical one for me would be, what's it called? You know, you arrange your furniture.
Feng shui.
Yeah. You know, that everything somehow has got some sort of effect on your life, and it sort of like entraps people in a whole series of things that divert their attention and actually take up their time by sort of spiritualizing everyday things.
Yeah. Mm. So, does anyone here do any feng shui? When you move into your new place, did you align the armchairs in the right place?
I didn't. I probably will do now you've mentioned it.
Great. Well, you need your attention like diverting.
Very good idea. Yeah.
But no, it's true. It's funny that we can claim to be so intelligent and spiritually minded, and yet the thing that so many people are now getting involved with is essentially furniture removal, and that is their spiritual. And yoga, which is, from my understanding, a lot of what I've seen when people do yoga is sitting in awkward positions, and yet people are putting that and moving their sofas as the keys. That is what makes them spiritual. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with sort of God or the universe, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's very quite ordinary things, but you tag it on.
How do you define spiritual? Because I think you're straying into areas here where, I mean, I wouldn't see any link between organising your furniture and spirituality at all.
I agree, but I think that's the problem. That's how we see it. But there are those that say things like that feng shui is all about channeling energy. And when you start going into that, you start...
Energy is the universe, the chi energy, which essentially...
So why is that different to God?
Well, because essentially, when you go to the root of what chi is about, chi is about yin and yang. Mm-hmm. And it's about the balance between dark and light, good and evil. Mm-hmm.
Which is Christianity.
No, it's not. It's not about a balance between good and evil. It's about the overcoming of evil by good. Mm-hmm. It's the overcoming of darkness by light.
Christianity has a root in it. It's the kind of fight between good and evil. And that's their way of...
But they don't see it as a fight. They see it as a balance, and that they're equal.
Yeah.
And that they're equal, and that the balance between them is what we're aiming at. It's not about the overcoming of evil by light. It's about the balance of evil and good, and somehow that's good. And it's this dualistic world that they're talking about. We're talking about a world of oneness of God, not the equality, the equal balance of good and evil, of darkness and light. And because in reality, darkness can't quench light, the light can quench darkness. So it's not a matter of an equal balance. Darkness cannot exist in light. And that is why we talk about being original.
Saffron.